Hi, welcome to the program. Let's play a little game. Let's make believe I care how you are. Here we go. Hi, how are you today? This is pretty good, huh? I'm pretty good at that.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Oh, it's going to get weird today. It will.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the, you know.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. My name is Julie. Wait a minute, that was wrong. My name is Ron. That was Julie who introduced me. And John Shanahan, thank you as well, sir. You're all fine people in my book, and you can read my book. It'll be coming out in about 3 years from now. I haven't started writing it yet, but I will, and then you'll see. School is starting very soon for the little the children. That's nice. School's a horrible thing, man. I know. I am not a proponent of school. I think either you're smart and you want to learn, or you're not. Seriously, I know a lot of people that went through school, through high school, and they still can't talk. They still can't talk. See, I can't even do it. I went through college and I can't even talk. I don't know. I just don't feel that, you know, if a child doesn't want to learn, then that's what has to be dealt with. They should be in some type of therapy or some type of shock treatment to make them want to learn. I feel bad for teachers. Some teachers are horrible. They're horrible. But you can't get rid of them. They're like a cold sore. But most teachers, the majority, the vast majority, are good people that don't make all that much money. Sure, they get the summers off, but when you put it all together, it's not that much money. For the impact that they have on a child's life, for their entire lives, it's not that much money. It's not that much money. But I feel bad for teachers because they are judged and graded on how successful they are in their classroom in teaching the children. If a child doesn't want to learn, it ain't going to happen. You can be the best teacher in the world. If a child doesn't want to learn, it ain't going to happen. Now, there are some teachers that are so incredible that they can actually influence a child to want to learn. Yes, okay, that happens sometimes. But that's not really what I'm talking about. You know whose job it is to make the child want to learn? It's the parents. I forgot all about them. Yeah, the parents or parent, whatever. It's your job to make your child want to learn. Not the teacher. The teacher teaches you things when you want to learn. That's when that happens. That's when that magic occurs. No child left behind. Talk to the parents. You can't pump out babies left and right, go on welfare, and then just have your child hang out on the street. That's child abuse.
Having fun so far?
We're going to talk about that a bit later on in the program today, by the way. Hey, speaking of by the way, oh, first of all, let me just say what's happening in Texas. Holy crap. Holy crap. I mean, unless you go through something like that, you have no idea. Make believe you're in your home and your apartment, and all of a sudden floodwaters start to coming up and ruining everything. And now you're fearing for your life because everything's flooded beneath you. There's like total water everywhere. And there's no power, so your sump pump isn't going to pump out the water from the basement. Everything you have is ruined and wet and moldy. And now you have to get out of your house for what you think is going to be a day, but it's probably going to be weeks. Where do you go? You live in a shelter somewhere, huddled up in a blanket with none of your possessions. Maybe your pet if you're lucky. That's horrible. And that's what's happening to hundreds of thousands of people in the southern Texas area, Corpus Christi, Houston, Victoria. Those areas are seeing 3-4 days of rain, and not measured in inches, but measured in feet. What? What? And I see this on the Weather Channel, this devastation, 1,000 rescues a day, while it's still raining torrentially, water's getting higher and higher. Could be the greatest flooding disaster in the history of this country. Could be. The storm just doesn't go anywhere. There are no air currents to bring it north, to bring it anywhere. It's just stagnant. It's just staying until it just peters out, and Peter ain't ready to leave yet. Figures it'd be, the name would be Harvey. Hurricane Harvey, Tropical Storm Harvey. Doesn't seem like a Harvey would cause so much trouble. Harvey never caused trouble for anybody. It's not a name that causes trouble. But it does there. It does now. So I'm watching this on the Weather Channel. I mean, I'm devastated watching this. And then it has a local weather. I live in Massachusetts. And it says it's going to be a beautiful day here in Massachusetts. 70 degrees, crisp, beautiful blue skies, perfect weather. And I'm thinking, that's nice, but I feel guilty. I feel the Catholic guilt, the Jewish guilt, all those guilts. Yeah, I know. That's awful. I move on to trivial situations. I'm watching television. A couple of weeks now, there's been a commercial on TV. And I'm going to play the commercial for you. It annoys the hell out of me. There's some college-age girl standing in front of the Statue of Liberty. And she does this because it's Liberty Mutual Insurance. That's what the commercial is for. There's a series of these commercials. And she's like the typical little sophomore college girl. And she's just so totally annoying. It's just annoying. Here's the commercial. It bothers me. I don't know why it gets under my skin so much, but it does.
You owned your car for 4 years. You named it Brad. You loved Brad. And then you totaled him. You two had been through everything together. 2 boyfriends, 3 jobs. You're like, nothing can replace Brad. Then Liberty Mutual calls. And you break into your happy dance.
If you sign up for Better Car Replacement, we'll pay for a car that's a model year newer with 15,000 fewer miles than your old one. Liberty stands with you. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
All right, I get it. I've never named my car. I think that's a little sick. If I did name my car, perhaps it was like I don't know why I would name my car, to be honest. I don't know why I would do that. I've heard of people naming ships and naming boats. I guess some people name their cars and they put a vanity license plate on the back of their car and they've named their car. But why would anybody name their car Brad? It's not a common name. It's kind of a silly name, except for, you know, people that have those names. like Angelina and Brad thing. It just annoys me when she says, you name your car Brad. Excuse me, lady. No, I don't. A, I don't name my car, and B, I would not name it Brad. So if you're trying to reach a large segment of the population, I think you kind of narrow it down when you say to them, you name your car Brad. No, we didn't. You're stupid. We're not. Then she goes into this long-winded story about a relationship with Brad. This woman needs psychological help. You're stuck on this Brad thing. What did he do to you? How did he abuse you to the point where you name your car after him, and then you start complaining about it? I guess she gets in an accident with Brad, which I guess means she had a fight with her boyfriend, Brad. I guess that's what that means. I really don't know. This is a very deep commercial now. It's a very psychologically analytical, deep commercial. She crashes her car that she's named Brad, and then she calls her insurance company, which is what I do when I break up with somebody. I've been dating Susan for 3 years. We've broken up. I'm calling my insurance company. I start to lose it here. I start to lose the connection that I never had with this. She calls the insurance company, and apparently they're going to, you know, reimburse her for the car or reimburse her for the loss of Brad. I have no idea what. Maybe Brad died or something. I have no idea what happened to Brad. And then she breaks into her happy dance. Shallow girl. First of all, I don't think I've ever broken into a happy dance. Unless I was like 5 years old. Maybe I got excited when I opened up a Christmas gift. And it was like a toy train or something. I don't even think I did a happy dance, but I think I jumped up and down a little bit, which is basically the extent of my exercise today as well. I don't even think I do that. But this little college girl, she gets in touch with the insurance company. They send her a check, and she starts dancing. I don't know. I don't know where she stands now with Brad. I don't know if Brad is getting a portion of the check. If she gets a new car, what will she name it then? Brad 2? Harvey? I don't know. It annoys me. That commercial annoys me. She's just an aloof little valley girl. This Brad stuff. It's annoying. Very annoying.
Brad, you two have been through everything together. 3 jobs, you're like, nothing can replace Brad. Brad, 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 and you break into your happy dance.
Brad, 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 Brad.
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 You two have been through everything together.
Brad.
3 jobs, you're like, nothing can replace Brad.
Brad.
Brad, Brad,
Brad, Brad,
Brad. And you break into your happy
Brad,
dance.
Brad.
Ron Van Dam likes to treat every listener as someone with whom he is having an intimate, personal relationship. Although no money changes hands, there are fewer sticky bodily fluids, about half as many apologies, and he probably won't have to get rid of your body in the long run. Other than that, it's a pretty standard relationship for Ron. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show.
Brad, Brad, Brad. Brad, Brad. Well, would you believe I do this every single weekday? Except for holidays. You know, then I'm not into it. Otherwise, yeah. There's over 800 episodes that you can listen to at any time by going to newenglandbroadcasting.com on your internet highway of internets. Or you can go to the Podbean Network, the Ron Van Dam Show. They're all there, all 800 plus episodes. I mean, Seriously, do they have to be? They got to go somewhere. You can also find us on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, and even on the Alexa app, the Amazon thing. So it's just, you know, it's absurd. Brad. If you'd like to get in touch with me, it ain't going to happen. Or you can go to ronvandamshow@gmail.com. What did you say? ronvandamshow@gmail.com. God, why don't you listen the first time? Here's a way this works, to be perfectly honest with you. You don't pay me to listen to this. But the more that you listen, if you become a follower, you know, when you do that, and you listen on a regular basis, I get paid by the podcast network. So that's good. So that's why I want you to listen as much as possible. And you don't have to listen to a particular time of day, because this isn't radio. This isn't that crappy AM radio crap that's dying as an industry. This is the internet, which is growing like a oozing sore. Yeah. So you can listen anytime you want, any episode you want, any time of day, any day. Okay? Cool? We understand each other? I think we do, Brad. I have another commercial on that Liberty Mutual thing. It's another girl who stands there in front of the Statue of Liberty, and she says, I crashed my car, didn't name it, but I crashed my car, and my old insurance company only wanted to pay me 2/3 of the value of the car. What am I supposed to drive 2/3 of a car? Well, I got to tell you something. I think you were driving 2/3 of a car. I'm going to tell you a funny story. You ready? Here we go.
And now it's time for one of Ron's funny stories. You could practically hear the quotes around funny, couldn't you?
All right, this is a true story. Yesterday, I spent a lot of my time cleaning out my closet. Not only my clothes closet, which is where I started, but I started cleaning out the pantry closet, the hall closet. I started cleaning out closets. I'm a closet cleaner, I guess. It's so funny. Do you know what's fun about cleaning out a closet? You find stuff you didn't know you had. You spend most of your time saying, "Oh, what is this?" You actually find stuff and you don't know what it is. What is this? You know, it didn't walk into your house by itself, Mr. Brad. You bought it, or you brought it in at some point in your life. What is this? The other thing I found myself saying is, all the time, cleaning out the closets, oh my God, I didn't know I had this. Yes, I know what it is, and I didn't know I had it. I found clothes in my clothes closet with the labels still on them. I had never worn them. I apparently, at some point in my life, bought them and hung them up in the closet. And then they got shoved back somewhere, and I never knew I had them. I forgot about them. It's not hard for me to forget about that, because I don't remember a lot of stuff. Certainly, when I bought like 5 years ago. It was amazing. And then I tried it on. And here's the funny part about the clothes closet thing. It can make you feel great or it can make you feel horrible. If you're trying on stuff in your clothes closet that you hadn't tried on before and it fits really nice, it's like finding something new. It's like, oh, cool. I have something. I don't even have to buy it. And I like it. I can't wait to wear it on Monday. Then there are the clothes that you find in your clothes closet that you didn't know you had, and they don't fit anymore. They're too small. Oh, no, I got fat. That's depressing big time. That's horrible, man. Are you kidding me? That's a buster. That's a deal buster. What a nice t-shirt. Look at the nice t-shirt with the artwork on the t-shirt. I think I'll try it. Oh, it's like, oh, it's too small. I can't even put it on. It's because you gained weight. Then you got to go through the analysis. Well, if I keep it, then maybe I'll lose weight and it'll fit then. No. You know what? No. No, it's not going to happen. You're not going to lose that much weight. You know, it's not, you're not going back to your birth size. So no, get rid of it. Give it away to the people who need clothes who can fit into that stuff. You don't keep stuff you can't fit into. Get rid of it. Some stuff that you wear, you love it. And then your spouse or your boyfriend or your girlfriend says, that's an ugly thing. Why don't you get rid of that? That's ugly. It's ugly. It's my favorite shirt. That's ugly. The color's ugly. And it doesn't sit well on your body. It makes you look silly. Get rid of it. But it's my favorite. I don't care. You have no say in this. Who are you? You're you. You're the person wearing the clothes. You have no say in it. It's your garment. You're wearing it. You have no say in it. What? When did those rules come up like that? I thought that would be like all me. No, it's all everybody else. It's not you when it comes to that. Believe me, you have no idea what you look like in that. It's too tight. It makes your shoulders look stupid. It shows your little stupid gut in your stomach. It's not flattering. Get rid of it. What are you telling me to do? Get rid of it, I'm telling you. That's going through your closet is quite an exercise in strangeness. You just find stuff that you don't expect. I found some turtlenecks in my closet. That's how far back some of those clothes go. People don't wear turtlenecks anymore. And I'll tell you something, if you think that they do, then you're probably not understanding what people do. Nobody wears turtlenecks. You're not supposed to. It's a fashion that has now become extinct, like the dinosaurs, like the turtles themselves. By the way, turtlenecks, nobody ever looked like a turtle wearing a turtleneck. And then there was the mock turtleneck. It's not a turtleneck. We're mocking the turtleneck. We're mocking it. Is that a turtleneck? No, I'm mocking the turtleneck today. It's a parody of a turtleneck. You're parodying something that doesn't exist anymore, so get rid of both of them. So I got rid of all my turtlenecks. There weren't a lot, but some of them were just hanging on for dear life. Then I felt weird giving them away to the clothing drive, figuring that somebody who doesn't have clothes will be forced to wear turtlenecks, and that's fashionably not good for them. I mean, I know you have no clothes. I know you can't afford to buy clothes, but is it right for me to pass on a clothing style that you'll look silly in? Do I want my homeless people looking silly? I think that's the bottom line, as insensitive as that statement probably was. Well, I finished cleaning out my closets. I am giving a lot of stuff away, which is good. I don't feel better about it. I kind of feel worse. But that's okay. It's okay. At least I know who I am. I think I remember who I am. All right, that's it.
Really funny story, Ron. But then again, I'm in the third grade.
We're going to go to our guests now. We're going to talk about the kids going back to school. And I think that's always a really nice thing for the people that aren't the kids. You know, apparently there's a problem with teacher turnovers, which I think is like an apple turnover, only there's teachers in it. Remember to turn over your teachers, ladies and gentlemen. You'll find strange things under them. I don't think that's what that means.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
How are you? Welcome to my school. We're saying hello to Linda Darling Hammond, who is the president and CEO of Learning Policy Institute, and Desiree Carver-Thomas, research and policy associate, educator, quality team, Learning Policy Institute. A lot of stuff going on there. We're talking about teacher turnover, and I guess surveys and studies are done all the time. I don't know which way it goes, though. Is the turnover high or low?
Teacher turnover is quite high. We have about 8% of teachers who are leaving the profession each year and another 8% of teachers who are moving between schools each year. And for comparison, just about 3-4% of teachers leave some high-achieving school systems like in Finland and Singapore.
And the reason that they would leave, I would assume, having not known anything, that is it salary?
Well, that's a piece of it. Teachers who can earn up to $72,000 a year or more are 20-30% less likely to leave their schools than the lowest paid teachers.
Yeah.
But teachers cite a number of reasons for leaving. Dissatisfaction with testing and accountability measures.
Right.
Lack of administrative support, dissatisfaction with working conditions, and also teachers who aren't well prepared are also less more likely to leave their positions.
Does it differ regionally throughout the country? Sections of the country, is it different?
It is. In the South, you know, they have the highest turnover rates, over 16%, 17%. In the Northeast, it's the lowest at about 10% each year.
And is that because of salary?
Yes. The Northeast is a better paying part of the country. Mm-hmm. It also offers smaller class sizes, better funding for schools, so teachers are more likely to have the materials and the equipment that they need rather than having to buy it themselves. You're sitting in the better part of the country for attracting and keeping teachers.
How different is the teaching world from the business world, really, in the long run? I mean, is it different? Is it set up differently? Are there different frustrations that you don't get in the business world?
Well, for one thing, in the business world, you're usually doing one thing at a time. Whereas when you're teaching, you have 20 or 25 or 30 squirrely kids, all of whom have different needs and different things that they're on their minds, and you've got to both make them organized and coordinate them and then actually get them to learn some very challenging material, which is increasing as standards are going up in schools. So a lot of people who come into teaching from business or from the military or from other jobs are amazed at how complex it is to do all of those things at once.
I can imagine. But it varies like from not only state to state, but from city to town. It depends on where you are. I mean, am I correct that it varies greatly among municipalities? It's not a federally watched kind of thing necessarily. I mean, how does that break down?
Yeah, it is very different from place to place.
Yeah.
Do you think
the conditions that the teachers are teaching in are really different from one place to another?
Yeah.
So, you know, as the conditions vary, the turnover rates will also vary, and we also notice variation between subject areas. You know, math and science teachers and special education teachers are more likely to leave the profession, you know, than our elementary school teachers. Similarly, with foreign language teachers and English language development teachers. So all of these things play a role. Teachers in low-income schools or schools serving students of color are more likely to leave because, you know, often these schools don't have the kind of resources that make teaching, that can make teaching more even more challenging.
Do
if you think about Massachusetts, it's a lot different teaching in Newton than it is teaching in Springfield, both in terms of salaries and the working conditions.
So I guess when that happens, when you have those different conditions, a teacher can indeed hop from one region to another, just like they change from one job to another. So are they actually leaving the profession, or are they leaving that, that jurisdiction?
Well, it's a combination. Mm-hmm. You know, about 8% of teachers are leaving the profession, and another 8% of teachers are moving. The issue is that a lot of this turnover is concentrated in certain schools and certain subjects, so some students end up being more affected, which can really exacerbate educational inequity for those students where teachers are in and out of their school.
Okay. So I guess the answer is to somehow make them feel more secure and comfortable in their job in every aspect.
Exactly, and you'll see that teachers will stay if they are in a place where they're well appreciated, where there's good opportunities to collaborate with other teachers and plan together and do problem solving, where their materials and supplies are handy and at the ready, and where they're making a reasonable salary to live on, which is not true everywhere. Then you have a contented and stable teaching force, which does promote higher student achievement.
Yeah. Makes a difference. I know a lot of people that have moved from one town to another because the educational system was better in another town. I'm talking about parents and their kids.
Mm-hmm.
So it really does make a difference all the way around.
It does, yeah. Same thing that's attracting parents is attracting teachers, too.
Yeah, exactly. And towns and cities should learn that they must accommodate accordingly. Most teachers are members of unions, I assume. I that's my assumption.
Yeah. Certainly in the northern states, that is the case.
Yeah. Okay. So what can we do about this to make them, to stabilize the situation?
Well, states can institute things like service scholarship and loan forgiveness programs to really encourage teachers to enter the field through high retention pathways, high quality teacher preparation programs that prepare them to be successful in their jobs. States can also support programs like teacher residencies and Grow Your Own programs, again, that help to build a high-quality teacher workforce.
Okay.
These are teachers who are more likely to stay in the profession and to be prepared for, you know, challenging positions. And states can also fund programs that help to support school leadership so that principals are well-prepared to support their teachers.
Yes. Yes.
That's, so those are a couple things.
That's a very big problem in the teaching profession is the bureaucracy that is set up, sometimes intentionally, sometimes not. For more information, we can go to learningpolicyinstitute.org. We're running short of time. Thank you so much for the information today.
Thank you for having us.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, fine, good. There you go. Some of my worst years were the school years. I hated being confined in school. I've talked about this before. I hate to be confined. I really do. I don't like confinement. I don't like to have to be somewhere and can't leave when I want to. At least when you're at work, you're getting paid for it. When you go to school, they don't pay you for that. Maybe they should. I mean, what a horrible situation it would be, but at least at work, you're getting paid. You figure there's something at the end of the rainbow. It's a paycheck.
What's the deal with the school? What's at the end of the rainbow? You're guaranteed a job? No. You're guaranteed knowledge? Not necessarily. What's the payoff there? You get to go home? That's like jail. That's like kid jail. And for parents, it's babysitting. Yeah, I got my kids in school. They watch the kids all day. They even feed them lunch. And then they get some knowledge out of it, and I get to go out and drink all day. It's pretty cool. It's a great babysitting job. They have buses that brings the kids to the school and brings them home. I don't even have to do that. It's really, really nice. That's why I have kids. Yeah, but for the kid, it's not fun. You sit in a wooden chair all day with a wooden desk in front of you that has gum all over it and greasy stuff and odd lotion smells. And you sit there and you sit 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 and you listen to somebody stand up in front of the room and blah, 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 blah. At least if it was me, I'd be somewhat entertaining. But a teacher, some of them just spout off information or don't even do that. They say, they talk and talk and talk. Now go home, read 20 chapters overnight, come back tomorrow, I'll test you. And that will be your grade. Have a nice day. I love you. Come on, man. It's not education. A teacher does have to make it somewhat interesting. But again, it's the parent's responsibility to make the child want to learn. And there's no guarantees that when you leave the school atmosphere, you're going to immediately get a job. That's what we all think. That's what they tell us. That's why they have guidance counselors. To make sense out of the stuff that they're teaching you. It's not easy. What kind of stuff is that? Seriously? I don't know, man. It all sucks, the big one, as far as I'm concerned. School's got to be more interesting. This is the United States. You have to coddle these kids. They're not little soldiers. They're free, independent, thinking little things, and you have to drill them in there somehow. It's very, very confusing for me. It's odd because when you're a child, you go to school and you sit there and it doesn't cost you anything. And then you go home and you spend your life going, oh, this is so horrible. I can't wait to get out of school. That's why when you graduate from high school, people throw their hats in the air. They do their quote unquote happy dance because it's over. It's finally over. What happens the next year? A lot of them go to school even more, and they pay for it. Exorbitant amounts of money with loans that they'll have to pay back till they're 70 years old to, again, assure them of not necessarily getting a job. And I've said this before. Do you know who wins? The plumbers, the electricians, the skills that we don't have that they do. Because instead of wasting all their time in books, they were being shown exactly how to do it on the job training. And then they worked their way up and eventually had their own business. Yeah. Yeah, every time an electrician comes to my house or a plumber, I feel like saying, you lucky son of a bitch. This worked out for you.
No, Ron, I go to people's houses all day, from place to place. It's not fun. And some of these jobs are very involved and a lot of toil and sweat.
Yeah, I agree. I understand that. That's very true. That's very true. You're right. You're right. I'm wrong. You're right. You're right. I'm wrong. You're right. I'm wrong. You're right. I'm wrong. You're right. I'm wrong. Stay in school.
The message is stay in school. Don't listen to what Ron says. Stay in school. Look what happened to Ron. Look what happened to Brad. I wish you peace.